appreciate you all this evening in the name of our Saviour Jesus Christ. I'd like to thank the pastor again for another opportunity to come and share from God's word with you. Tonight, going to be somewhat different. I'm not really going to be preaching, but I want to do a Bible study. And maybe just a little more informal than what we're used to. I might ask somebody to read a verse, or I might ask somebody a question. And just a bit of participation, maybe. So if you have your Bibles with you, be on the ball. Brother Matthew will be putting them up on the wall as well. It's good to search through the scriptures and see what's been said. I want to speak on the subject back in Genesis, identifying the trees. And just want to identify two trees here in the book of Genesis. And it goes right back to the beginning. And I believe it's a good foundation to know what you believe from the beginning, because if you start off right, if you get on the right foundation, then you can build a house. What happens sometimes is some people build shortcuts. They don't dig a good deep foundation. There's a bit of hard work sometimes. You have to dig down through the muddy ground and get onto the hard. You have to find the hard ground, and then you can build. But sometimes people don't want to put the effort in to build or to dig down to the hard ground, and they'll just maybe not even set a foundation. They'll just start building, and then through time, cracks appear. And sometimes them cracks is hard to fix, especially if there's been movement. But you know, for us as a group of believers, I want to speak on this subject tonight. Now, maybe you've never heard it like this before. Maybe you haven't ever considered it. But I want to let the Bible speak. I know this broadcaster says let the Bible speak, but we'll be letting the Bible speak tonight. And I would like just to put it forth in such a way that each person would know for surety that this is not my opinion. This is the word of God. And sometimes, you know, we're speaking about these two trees in the Garden of Eden. And sometimes you can't see the trees for the forest. And God's words are a wee bit like that sometimes, because God's words are revelation. Not so, this book, so, to some people, is a closed book. You know, Jesus said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and has revealed it unto babes. And again, whenever Jesus spake to Peter, he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. So just ask for God's revelation. And you know, that's why it's really good to know the author. It's actually more important to have a better knowledge of the author than it is his word. Because if you know the author real well, then you'll know what he's saying through his word. But if you don't know the author, you can have the word. You don't know the characteristic of the author. You don't know nothing about him. So therefore, you won't really understand what he's saying. And sometimes God does it like this. He hides the trees in the forest. Doesn't make things totally obvious. But I want to go through the scripture. And we're going to have a lot of scriptures tonight, more so. Normally, I like to stick with a specific scripture or just a few. But and just as a Bible study tonight, to run it through all the Bible, I want to show us, and we're going to be reading some scriptures. So I'm going to turn to Genesis chapter 2, and I really didn't know where I should speak on the subject or not, because I sort of always thought, well, there mightn't be many here, but anyway, praise God, there's a great few of us here, and thank the Lord for that. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And also a scripture in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I have the wrong scripture down, but Matthew, maybe if you can find it, it was that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, all things would be established. And I'm sure, Matthew, if you can search that. Maybe it's 1 Corinthians, or sorry, I mean, maybe in the wrong book, 1 Corinthians, maybe it's 2 Corinthians 13. Just check and see. 2 Corinthians 13, is it? Praise God. Well, yes, this is it. this is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And that's when we're going to take our witness from God's word. Different scribes, different people throughout history have contributed in writing God's word as one author. But we're going to let the Bible speak this evening. Let's bow our heads for a little word of prayer. Precious God, this evening, stand here before you, Lord, and before this people this evening, and I pray, Lord God, for your help, Lord, as we speak on these things. Pray, Lord God, you'll reveal yourself to us, Lord, even as we look through the scriptures, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'll open our eyes, Lord, to truth. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to identify the things that need identification in the name of Jesus Christ, that we wouldn't be confused, but Lord, we'll know where we stand and we know what we believe. And we know what your word says, and we just pray, Lord, that you'll reveal yourself even unto us in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. I ask you this evening, Lord, that the Holy Ghost will minister unto each one that's bowed here this evening and convict every heart of sin, I pray, Lord, if there's any that knows thee not a Saviour, and draw them unto your own precious self, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray now, Lord God, that you'll receive unto yourself all the glory, honour, and the praise, for it's in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. So that verse in 2 Corinthians was just really to say in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So it's good if you're going to preach some sort of a doctrine that you just don't have it in one place of the Bible. You know, and it's good to run the scriptures through. It's good not to take scriptures out of context. I remember hearing one time there was somebody who just got inspired or just got recently saved, and they were, just believe God's word, just believe God's word. You know, just believe every word. And this person was a young believer, and he opened up the Bible to see what it said, and it said that believe all things, doubt nothing. And he thought to himself, well, maybe it doesn't make too much sense. So he closed it and he opened it again, and it said Judas found a rope and went and hanged himself. And he thought, well, I'm not going to do that. And he closed it and opened it again, and it says, that thou doest, do quickly. So it would be kind of foolishness just to take God's word at that, but you've got to have it in context. So this evening, I want to go through some scriptures here. And this scripture here, identifying the trees. I want to speak on the tree of life. Not very much this evening, but really want to focus, because there's an awful lot to say about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And first, if we're going to start off in anything, this is what we need to do. We need to identify these two trees. What are these two trees? And say it's very easy not sometimes to see the trees for the forest, because in verse 9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And automatically, even as children, whenever we're growing up, if you have seen something from a child and you've always believed it that way, it's very hard to take a different opinion of it or to see it in a different light. It's like sometimes, you know, you see all these pictures of King Billy on a white charger, and I was devastated to remember finding out that his horse wasn't white at all, he was brown. You know, it's hard to get the mental picture out of your head. And that's what happens sometimes, you know, if you were looking at an elephant and you put somebody to the back of the elephant and you asked that person to describe the elephant, and then you put someone to the front of it and asked them to describe the elephant, they'd come up with two totally different descriptions. But they're both the same elephant, but it's just what way they're looking at it. So this evening, I want you, and I can remember in Sunday school, coming to the Sunday school exam, and went into the Sunday school classroom for to do my exam, and I can remember, they used to ask us the catechism questions, and they said, what was the sin in the Garden of Eden? And I said, Eve ate an apple. See, I'd believed that all my life, you see, because you see in the little children's books, Eve with the mouth and the bite mark out of the apple, and that was the forbidden fruit. And we were taught in Sunday school that that wasn't actually the sin. The sin was actually disobedience. But because I had it in my head, and the image in my head was Eve with an apple, I said Eve ate an apple, and of course it got marked wrong. I didn't do very well in the Sunday school test. But you see, sometimes you can have a preconceived idea. But I want us this evening to do away with these preconceived ideas, because this book is a book that is hidden treasures in it. And you can very easily think to yourself, this is speaking of a natural tree. But in the context of this verse, it says that, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Then there's a distinction. And the distinction is the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So there's a distinction between the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. These are in a special category. They're not numbered with all the other trees in the garden. Now, there are other trees in the garden like unto these trees. And the previous trees may just have been natural trees, as speaking of. The Lord God actually caused everything to come out of the ground when he brought creation up before Adam. Just to point that out, that whenever God made man, God already had made everything, and the birds and certain animals came out of the sea. But whenever God was showing Adam how things was done, God was just bringing everything forth out of the ground. So Adam knew himself that God was the creator, and he seen how creation came. Life came out of the ground. That's where life came from. And that's how Adam expected it. Expected a spoken word. That's how things came forth, was by a spoken word. So we have here these two specific trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I had said in the Sunday school exam that Eve had ate an apple. And you know, that's the big question, isn't it? What was the forbidden fruit? And often people are curious to know what the forbidden fruit is. Some say, my Uncle Billy used to say it, maybe it was a turnip or a tomato or something like that. But a turnip's a vegetable. It's not a turnip. And it's not an orange, and it's not any of those type of fruits. But you know, it probably puzzled me for a long time too. But you know, it suddenly dawned on me one day, it's not very difficult to know what the fruit was. And it's, you know, the Bible actually tells us how to identify the fruit. And if we can identify the fruit, we can identify the tree. And if you can identify the tree, you can identify the fruit. So we're going to turn to a scripture. If somebody will turn to Matthew chapter 17, or Matthew chapter 7, I beg your pardon. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. And we'll speak just what the fruit is, and then I want to go on, once we establish what the tree is, then we'll look at other scriptures. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15.
Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves.
Sorry, read on down to verse 20, please.
Ye shall also know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down, cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them.
So there you go. How shall you know a tree? That's fruits. Okay. Now, in another scripture, on us speaking, you see, I want to just point out that in this scripture, Jesus is speaking here, and he's actually speaking about men. But you see how he's using trees to give the example of men. And we're going to look at that in another week, just in a moment here. I want to establish how that all through the Bible, men are described as trees and branches. There's tons of scriptures. There's loads of scriptures. In Isaiah 53, it even describes Jesus. He says he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. Also, he's a branch that came forth out of David. Jeremiah talks about the branch, or even in Isaiah talks about the branch. But it says there, by the fruits you shall know them. And then in Matthew chapter 12, verse 37, would somebody like to read Matthew 12, verse 37 or 33? Matthew
12:33.
Praise God. Either make the tree good or its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. So how is the tree known? By the fruit. Okay, so that's God's word. That's not my opinion. I want to let you know this evening that a tree is known by its fruit. You can identify. So let me give you an example this evening. You might have an apple tree, and you might have a chestnut tree, and you might have an oak tree and a nice tree. They're pretty easily to identify without the fruit. But you could get a plum tree and a pear tree and an apple tree, and in the wrong season you could have bothered identifying what that tree is. But in the time of fruit, you'll be able to tell which is the apple tree and which is the pear tree and which is the plum tree, because of the fruit that it bears. So the apple tree will always bear apples, the plum tree will always bear plums, and the orange tree, whatever the fruit of the tree is what the tree is. So I'm going to ask you now, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what was the fruit? What fruit does the tree of knowledge of good and evil produce? It produces knowledge. That's the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It produces knowledge. That was the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was knowledge of good and evil. So, if a tree is known by its fruit, and we've identified that by scripture, that's not my opinion. That's what the scripture says. We can identify that this tree in the Garden of Eden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the fruit was knowledge. It was knowledge of good and evil. It was knowledge that Adam and Eve at this point didn't possess. And we're going to look who had this type of knowledge. And you see, even today, we see all around us the fruits of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know, a car, we could say a car is part of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because a car can be used in so many good ways. A tractor can be used in so many good ways. Threshers could be used in so many good ways. Relieves a lot of labor and so forth, but they can be deadly. And they can be destroy lives. And they can bring hurt. Weapons can be used in good ways and they can be used in bad ways. It's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's the type of fruit that came by. And once man chose to live by that way, he participates in that. He partakes of that fruit all his life. We see the fruits of the tree of knowledge of good and evil all round about us. So we see there that the scripture says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. I'm not speaking of people. So this tree in the garden, if it's producing knowledge, if that's what it produces, and the knowledge that it has is knowledge of both good things and evil things, it's not just an ordinary tree. And likewise, we'll also look at the tree of the tree of life. So if we use the same principle and apply, and I'm skipping the gun here, but I have a lot to say really about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but maybe just in case we don't get through it all, because this is very obvious in the tree of life. Let's just look back to Genesis, praise God. If we come to the conclusion that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil produces knowledge of good and evil, what will the fruit be of the tree of life?
Life.
Now, this is very plain in the scripture. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. Who's God speaking to? As one of us to know good and evil. I believe that's the angels. And he's like one of us now because he has the same knowledge that we have. So therefore, these trees are actually angelic beings. Now, I'm going to show just, it says here, the man has become of one of us to know good and evil. Now, this tree of life as an angelic being, he's not really as such an angel, but in some ways we could say he's an angel because he's the angel of the Lord. He's the angel of the covenant. This is actually the Logos, this tree of life. But then how do we know that and how do I come to that conclusion? By scripture. And it says, and now lest he put forth his hand and takes also of the tree of life and ate and live forever. So you see, God was going to guard this way of the tree of life because if man could ever participate in this fruit, if he could ever reach the fruit of the tree of life, to take this fruit and to eat this fruit, and sometimes this can be a word that can throw us off, and I want to just take a look at the word eat because that can throw people off to think we're talking about something natural, but we're going to look scripturally what the word eat can mean. But here God has said to the angels, he says, lest he put forth his hand and eat of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So this tree produces everlasting life. This tree produces eternal life. This tree, if Adam and Eve could ever get back to this tree before them cherubims were sent to guard it, he would have lived forever. He would have had eternal life. But you see, the sentence of death was already upon him, and God said, no, you can't come this way no more. And there became a separation between God and man. And man could never come back to the tree of life until the tree of life was made known again in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do I know that this is the Lord Jesus Christ? How do I know that this tree of life is the one and only, the Logos? In the beginning was the Word. That Word is Logos. In the beginning was the Word. And we're reading from the beginning. This is the beginning book. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him and for him, and without him was not anything made that was made. How do I know that this tree of life was him? Because it said that this, whoever eat of the fruit of this tree would live forever. John, First Epistle of John chapter 5 verse 12. Will somebody read that verse? The First Epistle of John chapter 5 verse 12.
He that hath the Son of God hath not life. All right, praise God.
So we're letting the Bible speak. So can you have life without Jesus Christ?
No.
Is that a certainty?
Yes.
There's absolutely no life outside of Jesus Christ. Is that the truth?
Amen.
So therefore, it's an established fact. There's only one form of eternal life. Who's that eternal life through?
Christ.
So who is the tree of life? Jesus Christ. Can't be anything else. It is absolutely fundamental. That's a doctrine I believe in. It's a principle. It's a principle. There's no getting away from it, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Praise God. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Praise God. So there is no way to God. There is no life outside of Jesus Christ. Outside of Jesus Christ is only death. There is an impossibility to have life without the Son. He that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So if you don't have Jesus Christ, you have no life. But yet with all, if Adam had got to this tree, he would have took the fruit and then lived forever. Amen. Praise God. Now I want to ask you something this evening. Who here is born again? Right, praise God. Amen. If you're born again, have you eaten the fruit of the tree of life?
Yes.
You have. Praise God. But you didn't sit down, put a napkin on you, and get a knife and fork out and say, I'm going to devour this. Sure you didn't. But you had to partake of that fruit. You had to literally eat the fruit of the tree of life in order for that life to be in you. You had to partake of it. You have to digest it. You have to consume it. You have to believe it. He that believeth on the Son, all that come unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. You see, at this time, God had a separation. There was a gulf between man and God. There was a separation. But God made a body. And this same life that was here in the tree of life came and lived in that body. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the tree of life. And the Bible, there's lots of scriptures referring to the tree of life. And I'm not going to go through them all this evening because it would just take too much time. So it's a clear fact from the Bible. We know that the tree of life is none other than the Logos, the Lord Jesus Christ, or the angel of the covenant. There's many, in a theophonic form, perhaps you could say Jesus Christ. It wasn't Jesus like we know him, because Jesus, if we speak about Melchizedek, we could say that Jesus had beginning of days and ending of life. As a man, he had. But it was the Logos, it was the Word, it was what was in Christ, it was the life of God in him. And that was who it was. On Jesus Christ, the Bible says that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, as the Messiah, the anointed Messiah, is Lord. Lord in the Old Testament is Jehovah. So Jesus Christ is God. This is the very life of God. This is the essence of God. So without doubt, the tree of life in this garden here is distinguished separate from the other trees. It is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean the Logos. You know what I mean. Now, if that was the case, then what about this other tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Who had this knowledge? You see, God said, man has become now like one of us. So who could this tree be? Now, I want to just go through some scriptures here, and I'll try and run through some of them fairly quickly, but just to see how that, whenever, I'm going to turn to the book of Judges chapter 9, and you can look on with your Bibles here this evening. Judges chapter 9, how that many a time in the Bible when it refers to trees, it's speaking of man. So don't think to yourself that this is just a natural tree. This is Judges chapter 9 verse 8. I'm going to read down a few verses here. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. Did you ever know that a tree could anoint a king? And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. So trees can speak. Did you know that? Trees can speak. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honour God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees. And the tree said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. In verse 11, the fig tree said, and speaks about its fruit as well, and good fruit. You see, these are men, but are speaking about fruit. And it's talking about trees. In verse 13, and the vine said, and verse 14, then said all the trees unto the bramble. And the bramble said, so forth, and it goes on. So you see how that in this instance here, where the men are referred to as trees. And there's another couple of verses. I did mention that scripture in Isaiah 53, how that the Lord said he would grow before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. And also, there's other scriptures there, but maybe just move on. Romans chapter 11, verse 17. Sorry, I'm not terribly well prepared, but Paul here speaking to the Romans in verse 17, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree. You see, Paul's speaking directly to the church here, and he's referring to them as trees. And thou being a wild olive tree, was grafted in amongst them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. So it's again, speaking of branches and speaking of men, verse 21, for God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest also he spare not thee. So you see how that us the tree men are referred to. Now I want to take a wee look at some scriptures in John's Gospel chapter 6. I'm saying I have a lot of scriptures to go through, but I want you to, just to make plain from God's word this evening. Now, there's a verse in Genesis there, and it talks about when the woman went to eat and seen that the tree was good for food and so forth. That can be a bit of a misdirection for some people to think. It makes them think naturally. But I want to show in another instance how that Jesus talks about eating, and he's not speaking about naturally. John chapter 6, verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. So we see here that Jesus is using another example, but again, this bread of life is one and the same as the fruit of the tree of life, because it produces the same thing. Verse 48, he says, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. So again, you see, we have the same reaction, we have the same result as what the tree of life had. So therefore, we have established that there's only life in Jesus Christ. So if Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, and he that eats the bread of life shall eat of it, he shall live forever. And he said that whosoever shall eat of the fruit of the tree of life, he shall live forever also. So that lets us see that this bread and the tree of life is one and the same. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 53, then Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now that's pretty strong language, and it caused many people to turn away from following Jesus, because they could not think. They only could think in the natural. Of eating, they could only think in the natural. And they were thinking that he was going to turn them into cannibals. But he wasn't talking in the literal sense of eating. But he says, 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. You see, this eating isn't sitting down with an opium. This eating isn't chewing with your teeth. If it had been chewing with your teeth, God would have given them a toothache for a punishment. If that's what it required, he maybe would have made their teeth fall out. If they ate something that weren't supposed to have eaten like that. But they partook of something. They ate something that imparted knowledge to them. And so in that scripture there in John, we can see also that the bread of life was an example of the eating. But if we go back to Genesis of this tree, that was just some examples. And I've an awful lot of scriptures there of examples as men as trees. And I don't want to spend too long, because I really want to just go in and look at this particular tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, we've established that the tree of life was Jesus Christ. And I'm saying who this tree of knowledge of good and evil is. Who do I believe he is? I believe this tree of knowledge of good and evil is the anointed cherub. That anointed cherub is Lucifer. And we can take a look in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, and we can get a little glance at him, and we can learn about his characteristics and his nature. And once we have established who he is, then we can identify him through other books in the Bible. There's just passing there, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. So you see, this word tree is something that's not just a tree in the natural, but a spiritual. Now, Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Now that's what Lucifer means. It means son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Now, we have some clear instructions here of who everybody knows who Lucifer is. Now, what I want to do is to show you where he was in the Garden of Eden. And how can I show you where he was in the Garden of Eden? Well, I can take this same description in another part of the Bible. And look, I want you just to notice some of these verses. It says, thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend. He wants to be glorified into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the sides of the earth. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. This devil, Lucifer, he's a very proud boy. I will. He's a boy that does it his way. Now, turn over with me to the book of Ezekiel and chapter 31. And sometimes in the Bible, I maybe should have said this from the beginning, but sometimes in the Bible, when we read in that scripture in Genesis chapter 9, when it talked about the trees coming up out of the ground and that they were good for food, and God gave them the fruit of the trees for meat. So there is a sense when he's talking about natural. But sometimes you've got to catch, because it can be quite subtle, when something has been spoken about naturally and then it becomes spiritually. And it can be difficult sometimes, maybe if you're not used with reading God's word, or maybe you don't know how God works or the gift of prophecy works sometimes, you can maybe miss out when something has been said and it turns into a prophecy. And here we have in Ezekiel 31, and it's a warning to Pharaoh. Now, this is a warning to Pharaoh in the natural, but if you look in the spiritual, it turns very quickly. We're going to look at another portion too, but listen to what it says. Verse 2. Son of man, speak unto the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude. Whom art thou like in thy greatness? Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon. Cedar was a tree. Cedar's a tree. God said the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches. Now, how does a man have fair branches? And with a shadowing shroud, and of a high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. The waters made him great, the deep set him up on high, with the rivers running round about his plants, and sent out her little rivers onto all the trees of the field. Therefore his height was exalted above all the trees of the field. Now, it's not talking about chestnut trees, oak trees, nice trees, sycamore trees. And his boughs were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. All the fowls of heaven made their nest in his boughs, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under his shadow dwelt all great nations. Thus he was he fair in his greatness. Now, does this sound familiar to the other boy? He was fair in his greatness, in the length of his branches, for his roots was by great waters. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. Lucifer was beautiful. He was the most magnificent angel out of them all. He was beautiful. He was something to behold. Is there any wonder he got so high and proud and lifted up? Everything came to him. Everything adored him. Everything wanted to be part of him because he was so beautiful. In the Garden of Eden, you know, we have such a descriptive description of him here. On the Tree of Life, there's very little said about it. But it's not just how Jesus is. Jesus was humble. Jesus didn't come, though he could have been as the King of Kings, but he came as a servant. He came as a shepherd. He wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a manger. He was humble. But this other tree, there's a contrast here. One is humble and one is proud. It said like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. There was nothing like him. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches. So all the trees of Eden that were where? Where were these trees? Verse 9. They were in the garden of God. This tree was in the Garden of Eden. I have verse 9, Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 9. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. That's why I said there was other trees. There wasn't just these two trees. There were other trees like them in the garden. But these other trees envied. Now, if I take a plum tree over here and an apple tree over here and set them beside each other, it's not going to cure what the other one looks like. But this tree, all the trees envied it. They had a feeling that there's a living consciousness that they could identify that this tree was set apart from every other tree, that this tree was magnificent. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height, and he hath shot up his top among the thick boughs, and his heart is lifted up in his height. And God goes on there to speak about his destruction. But that's exactly lines up with the description of Lucifer in Isaiah chapter 14. Over until Ezekiel 28. And again, this prophecy is to the king of Tyre. But listen how quickly it turns. The word of the Lord, Ezekiel 28 verse 1, I'm going to read down a few verses. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am God. Who was it that said that? Do anybody remember who we read? Who was it? Lucifer, okay. He said, thou hast said, I am God. I sit in the seat of God. Who wanted to exalt the seat up to the throne of God? Lucifer. He said, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. This is identical. Isaiah tells us plainly who he is. And through his description, then we can link him up and we see who he is. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Now, he's wiser than Daniel. With thy wisdom and thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver unto thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart lifted up because of thy riches. Now, who could we say was wiser than Daniel? I don't think outside of Solomon we could speak of any natural man that was wiser than Daniel. Daniel was a wise man. And here it's saying, thou art wiser than Daniel. Who would have that wisdom? Who would know more than what Daniel knew? Who is the one that knows all these secrets? Who is this one? Who is this magnificent being that knows all the secrets that's hid and kept secret and revered from men? Who is this one that can offer knowledge? Who is this one that can offer the treatment, if you like? Because he's wiser than Daniel. He has something to offer. And you see here, and later on it says that he traffics. And how does he traffic? Well, in Genesis, in chapter 3, the serpent said, who was possessed by the devil, and we'll get on to that maybe at a different sermon perhaps, but he's a trafficker. And what was he trafficking in? He was trafficking in the souls of men and women, Adam and Eve. And the Bible says of Nimrod that he hunted the souls of men. He was trafficking in the souls of men. Who's a trafficker? There's trafficking going on today, you know. Who's their father? The devil. But this one here, you see, he is the trafficker. What is a trafficker? He's a peddler. He's somebody who's a merchant. He's trying to sell you something. And you know, never do business with a peddler because you'll always come out with a bad deal. But he offered Eve something that seemed irresistible. Thou shalt be as gods. That part was true. They come to no good and evil. That part was true. But you paid a terrible price for it. And he lied about the price you'd have to pay because he was a trafficker. He reeled her in. And that's what the traffickers do. They paint these pictures to these young women. Everything's going to be great. And they're going to offer them so much money and go to different countries and so forth. And once they're cooked, they have to pay a price greater than they're ever told. They become enslaved and entrapped. And that's what happened. The whole human race, by this wisdom and this knowledge that was offered to leave, the whole human race became ensnared and entrapped. Terrible thing. But he was wise, you see. And very beautiful. He was irresistible. It says in verse 5, by thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches. The whole human race condemned into sin because of his trafficking. Separated from God. The introduction of the law. all the ceremonial rites, stoning and everything that goes with it, death, introduced death in a world that had no death, in a world that had no thorns, in a world that had no struggle, in a world that had no envy and no strife, a world that had no wickedness, no sin, no sickness, no pain. He introduced all these things by his trafficking. See, it wasn't really worth it. Seemed like a good deal, but he was a liar. There, verse 7, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. This is the Satan, this is Lucifer, he's the son of the morning. Verse 12, son of man, take up this lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. This can't be anyone else than Lucifer. This is him who we read about. All the trees in the garden of God envied him. His branches were fair. His top was above all the others. He's perfect in beauty. Where was he? Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. That's where he was. He was in the garden. Right from the very beginning, there's right. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold, workmanship of thy tablets, and of thy pipes, us all speaking about music, was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. You see, this was the anointed cherub. This was the one who trod on the coals of fire. This was the one who was in worship, in charge of worship, instead of Satan, that he was in charge of worship in heaven. These things was created in him, and the day was created. Thou art the anointed cherub. That's who the tree of knowledge of good and evil is. Is the anointed cherub that covereth. What are the cover with? The cover with their wings. And I have set thee, so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. That's where he was. And he fell. And he was cast down to the earth. And that's why he said that he wanted to ascend up onto the mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. He knows about the presence of God. That's why he knows every secret. That's why he's perfect in beauty. That's why he's full of the sum of wisdom was sealed up in him. There's nothing hardly he doesn't know. Don't ever think that you can outsmart Satan. He knows more of the scripture than we do. He's been there. He's been around a lot longer. He's been there from the beginning. He knows. He said there's no secret that can hide from him. It said, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created until iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. It was his beauty that got to him. He was a victim of his own success because he was so proud. And you know, the Bible, Solomon says in the Proverbs, that he says that some of the things that God hates, and a proud look's one of them. Pride, you know, I can remember one time Brian Freeborn was here and he said something very simple, and he said that pride was the worst sin there is. And I thought to myself when I heard, well, it wouldn't be hardly worse than murder, would it? Or it wouldn't be worse than adultery. But pride is the devil's sin. And it was pride that brought adultery. And it was pride that brought murder. It was pride that brought every other sin. Pride is the devil's sin. It says, I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay before thee kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled the sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth, the sight of them that behold thee. So I have no doubt in my mind that this tree, we read about it in Ezekiel 31, it described very clearly, this tree was in the garden of God. This is the same tree that it talked about in 30:31, us here in 28, and also in Isaiah in chapter 14. We read a good description of them so that we can be and no doubt who the two trees in the Garden of Eden are. We Praise God. Just going to close with a scripture. On it. I think they say it's going to be a bit different, but speaking of the fruit, this can be, just let me just turn to Genesis and read the scripture in Genesis, because this can be a scripture that throws some people off, and it would put, if you were never going to search the scriptures, you would never know what to look for. But you see how all these things is in the scripture, how they run through, right through, and we can even see the tree of life in the book of Revelations as well. Now, I'm not wanting to speak about the fruit tonight, but again, I will speak about the fruit. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat with her. Now, in that one verse, you would be surprised how much information is in that one verse. And I'd like to speak on that there again, about the fruit, and about the words that's used there, and to break them down, and to use them, show you in other scriptures what they're actually referring to when the same words are used in different places. But let's look at what Jesus said in John chapter 4. And I'm going to close this here, because that can be a stumbling block to people. Oh, how can you eat knowledge or that? But you know, whenever Jesus was coming to Samaria to meet the woman of the well, he sent his disciples away for food. And whenever they came back, I'm just going to read verse 32, and this is what he said, because they were perplexed, couldn't understand it. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Now, they were all away getting food for the natural body, and then they were confused whenever Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Now, he wasn't talking about natural bread, or he wasn't talking about soup or vegetables or some piece of meat. He was talking about meat from spiritual meat. You see how that in the Bible, that these things aren't just, you have to look spiritually at these things. So when we read in the Bible of these two trees in the midst of the garden, the tree of life, you see, if the first clue is right away that the tree of life isn't just an ordinary tree. And if this tree is in the same distinction as this other tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then there's a good possibility it wasn't going to be either. And then when we look through the scripture, we can identify who was in the garden of God and who had the wisdom. Who had the knowledge to impart on to man and woman? Who had it? It was Lucifer. And he was a trafficker. He was always trying to corrupt. Because if he corrupted in heaven, when he came to the earth, he was going to try to corrupt that as well. And he did. He deceived. He deceived Eve. Eve was deceived. And maybe, again, we can look at that at another time. But I just trust this evening that this has been very basic, I know. But I want to, maybe you didn't realize that the tree of life was actually Jesus Christ. Maybe you didn't realize that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was the anointed cherub. Maybe you didn't realize what was the fruit. It was knowledge to do good or evil. We'll take a look at that. And if you have knowledge to do good and evil, there's an awful lot you can do. The knowledge for the atomic bomb. Where did they get the knowledge for that? Who imparts this type of knowledge? What does it do? It kills. That knowledge is evil. And they're making power plants now, and you could say, well, that knowledge is good. But you see, good and evil mixed together. The tree of life had no evil in it. It was a wholesome tree. The tree of life produces life. This other tree, no matter how much good it produces, it will always produce death. And another way that we can identify who this tree is, Jesus said, I am come. The two trees right side by side, once again, I am come that they might have life. But of the other boy, he said that the thief has come, but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. What does the fruit of knowledge of good and evil produce? Death. Death. The tree of the fruit of life, it produces life. Amen. Death comes from Satan. Amen. And life comes from Jesus Christ. So therefore, I hope that we can clearly see from the Bible this evening, and it hasn't been difficult, it hasn't been complicated, that you can go away this evening, that you have a clear understanding of who these trees are. That you know for surety that from the beginning. Because if you know him from the beginning, then you'll know how to look out for him for the rest of the scripture, and throughout, even in your own life, you'll know his tactics, you'll know his characteristics, and we'll maybe look more at them again. But praise God. This my watch is the wrong time. I don't know. Has anybody got the time? We'll just right 25 till 9. Is it? Right, well, listen, can we just come for a time and pray for a moment or two, praise God, and I'll go and sit down for a moment, and just for 10 or 15 minutes, we can pray, praise God. Our Heavenly Father, just bring this word before you this evening, and I pray, Lord God, that you will bless it to the people. And I pray, Lord God, that nothing was said be contradictory, Lord, or confusion, but I pray, Lord, it'll be plain and simple and easy to understand. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. I pray, Lord God, that in all this, that you'll help us to appreciate how that you once again opened the way to the tree of life when you sent forth your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, at one time, Lord, you sent angels to guard the way, but now you say, come on to me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he that cometh and shall eat of the tree of life freely. Thank you, Lord God, that we can come and, Lord, it doesn't cost us anything, Lord. Lord, there's not no small print in the background that we're going to suffer some terrible consequence because we come to you. But, Lord, when we come to you, we receive life. We receive forgiveness. Lord, we receive holiness. We receive righteousness, Lord. When we come to you, Lord, the fruit of the tree of life, Lord, is wonderful. And we thank you, Lord God, that it works on the inside and manifests on the outside. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you even have made us, Lord, a tree of life also because we have partaken of your fruit, Lord. You said that if we abide in you, Lord, that you would abide in us, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you are that original root, Lord, and you're the original branch, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you'll make us fruitful, I pray. I pray, Lord God, that you will make us fruitful. Pray, Lord God, that you'll help us, Lord, to be your disciples, Lord. For your word says that hereby will you be glorified the Father, that you bear much fruit. And hereby shall they know, men know that you're my disciples, that you bear much fruit. So I pray, Lord God, that you'll help us to be bearing fruit, heavy laden with fruit, for God's kingdom and for God's glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And I just ask you now, Lord God, you'll bless the remainder of this service. And Lord, it's been somewhat different perhaps, but I pray, Lord, you'll encourage your people to pray. And Lord, just to give them, just for people to give thanks unto you and praise for you, Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, our King. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you.